Hello, everyone, and welcome to Monty and Mickey, the Geek Pop Culture Podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about something. We're going to be taking a jump. If you read the episode title, you'd know this already, so I don't know why I'm explaining it to you. I've heard another podcast. Does anybody just randomly press play and just go, we're going to listen to this one. I don't know what it's about.
I love these guys so religiously. I'll just listen to anything they're talking about.
They have so many episodes every week.
Right.
I just don't even, I get lost in the weeds.
Just their voices and their subject matter just sweeps me away.
So I think we had mentioned we are going to be covering all the X-Men movies, but we're taking a slight detour just because of how popular and how much praise the Dune movies, Dune Part 2 really got. So today we're going to be covering Dune Part 1 and Dune Part 2. I think Dune Part 2 came up about a month ago, maybe? Not even? Yeah. It's a fairly recent movie, and that was part of the reason why we wanted to get this one recorded in the archives, because
we wanted to see it in the theater, but we wanted to be fresh in our minds.
Yeah,
because like with the X-Men, they've been out a while. We can take notes
and especially now that they're all on Disney Plus,
right?
You know,
easily accessible. Yeah.
There's just a really good timing of all of this. And how, like I said, just everything. So don't worry. Mickey, don't worry. We will cover all the X-Men.
Okay, good.
Before Deadpool. I promise you, we will not forget about Deadpool.
So another reason I love doing this podcast, I mean, sometimes I don't, but it's everything feels like a job after a while, but we get to hang out. It's always a built-in reason, which is why we did it in the first place. But it also kind of forces us to watch movies we never gave ourselves a chance to, but always wanted to.
Right.
I always wanted to watch all the X-Men. I finally... All the Indiana Jones, all, we're going to do Hunger Games, you know, coming up here. Right. All these movies I've never watched, but we're forcing our hands, I like that.
You've never done a rewatch, and you wanted to do a rewatch, and you never had the time to.
Right.
I equate it to going on a trip for your job, right? I went to Maryland one time. I'd never go to Maryland. There'd be no reason for me to go to Baltimore, right? I went to it for
school
a trip because I was working, right? I have to watch the Indiana Jones Michaela, we need to watch. I need to watch this.
Because you went to Baltimore?
I need to go downstairs and I need to watch this. You need to take care of the kids for a while.
I thought you had to watch Indiana Jones because you went to Baltimore. I'm like, I don't understand.
Sorry.
These two of us.
Sorry, my logic wasn't a clean break there.
Bouncing around.
But you get what I'm saying? Is like,
right.
It gives me, like, not just an excuse, but like, I need to, because I need to be prepared.
It's
because
research
we decided
for the
on a date. Like,
yes.
I'm not going to let Mickey down.
Right.
I'm not going to let Reed down, because he's the only other one that listens to us. I can't let these people down, so I need to be well prepared.
I have homework, and there's ones or tens of people that are depending on me.
We need to go to this movie.
Right.
We need to get beers after, because it was St. Patrick's Day. It has to happen.
Well, and
I don't have a choice.
And she's smart. She's got her own friends, so she goes and does those things. So it's not like she's going, no!
Yeah.
I am the warden. You do not go downstairs.
I'm not sneaking out like, hey, I'm going to get some groceries, and then shut off my phone as I'm...
He's been gone for 3 days. What kind of groceries
he doesn't
he
even.
Buying?
We had plenty of milk, and he doesn't even smoke. What the hell's going on?
That's all he came back with. And he was in the basement. I'm so confused.
So, anyways, all that being said, yes, this was definitely worth learning about. First of all, I had not known much about the Dune franchise.
Me either.
I knew it was a thing.
Right, but I mean, even older, like Star Wars, I was like 4 when it came out originally. This one, I was like 11 years old. So right around the golden time to be loving these kinds of movies. I never watched the 85 version.
Right.
I never did.
And apparently,
just didn't get into it. It was really well received, but I just didn't get into it.
And apparently there was some series that came out. Like,
right, afterwards. Kind
in
of
the, like in
that.
The 2000s or something.
So there's been
Patrick
a cult following.
Patrick Stewart was an actor in one of them. Like
really?
He played the Josh
either.
Brolin character, I guess. So it's got, it definitely doesn't have as much, okay, movies-wise, it doesn't have as much as like a Star Wars or a Marvel. But
as far as following and
like just strong media
storyline, right?
Like there's not like it was Dune and then they did a remake of it, and like that's it, like
right
in terms of like you know, you had
there's
4, 5, and 6, and
then
1, 2, 3 episode for Star Wars,
2 books total, right?
There's a lot more books though. That was where I was going to pivot to.
Okay,
so there's the original like 4 or 5 books.
There's that many? I thought there was 2 or 3.
Then they did a prequel series.
Mm.
And there's apparently supposed to be a show or a series coming out on some streaming with these Dune characters in a prequel series.
Same actors?
No, because it would be like hundreds of years before. Right. And we'll get into it, but it's like those the witches when they planted the prophecy or whatever. Like, it's supposed to follow that.
Sure.
And so, like, these books were like prequels that came out in like the 80s. Because these books originally came out in like the 40s or some shit.
Oh,
40s or 50s.
I guess I remember
the books did.
See, that's how little I know. You said that when we watched the movie, but I don't remember. I didn't know any of this. Like I said, I didn't watch the original 1985 movie. So, I mean, that was the first on screen.
Right.
I didn't know shit about that, so I never really paid any attention. I didn't know. This has been around longer than Star Wars.
So,
essentially.
Plenty of raw media, and we talk about this when we were talking about, like, how much DC screwed up their movies, right? About, like, you have the raw, really good storylines already laid out. Like, pick up a comic book.
And they're screwing up the movie.
Make it into a movie, right? You literally have, like the Nightfall series. Like, just take that book, that omnibus.
Literally just copy.
Make a trilogy out of it. Right. And you're going to be printing money, right?
Right.
Dune is a very similar situation now. Because I equate it to a very, like a J.R.R. Tolkien, like, The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings. Like, there was those books, and they had them, and they were very well received.
Everybody loves the books.
Everybody loves them.
Right.
And then in the 2000s...
Hey, you know all the money? They put it on a big screen. We should try that. Since there's no original ideas, let's take these things that have never put on a screen and
we'd be,
make billions of dollars.
We'd be like, if you and I did it, it'd be like Jay and Silent Bob. It'd be like Blunt Man in the whatever the hell. Like,
right.
When he did those movies.
Yeah.
But what I'm getting at is, there is no shortage of original content from the source material, and we'll get into it in a little bit, but I believe this has legs, and whether or not it reaches that full, like, covers every book, I think that they have the opportunity and now an audience to justify
it. And I don't know why we talked about this off mic, but why they didn't do that with the 85 version. Maybe they just... They only wanted a one-off, but
and maybe it wasn't as well received. I don't remember.
Well, it was really popular, but things were a little different back then too. They didn't just, you know, oh my god, that cow's got 14 nipples. Let's milk it until there's blood coming out. You know, but the other thing is these. I mean, if you're right about the 40s, this has been around as long as superheroes and comics.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
It's been around. I mean, since World War II, it's been. I mean, that's that's where a lot of this stuff started. This is way older than Star Wars then. Mm-hmm. 30 plus years.
Yeah, the original story, I think, is definitely, and that's what shocked me when I started peeling back the onion, because we had seen and we had done posts on it on the Monty and Mickey Facebook page.
Because there was so much hype for this new one.
And that's what there was so much hype that it was almost like we couldn't ignore this.
Right. We have
if
to
we
go see it. Yeah.
Consider ourselves a pop culture, geek and pop culture podcast, we have to at least
give it a
pay
chance.
Attention,
right?
You know, and again, we'll get into it. I don't think that it was something that I will regret anytime soon.
No,
it was a good story. It wasn't as good as what people were making
it
out.
Right? No, does
but
anything,
it wasn't bad.
The only movie I can think of in the last 10, 15 years that I think lived up to the hype was Endgame.
Yep.
And even that hangover has crashed hard.
Right.
Since I mean, I don't. Right. There's still. I'm still finishing up Echo, which has been around for a while.
Yeah. I didn't even. That's out now. I don't even remember.
The whole five. There's only five episodes.
Oh
too,
my god!
And they're not even 45 minutes
long.
So then
begs the question: because Fox and Disney and everything is all combined now, and because the new Deadpool movie is going to be in the MCU, but in the Fox universe, I gotta like we're doing the Fox movies for the podcast. I gotta catch up on all these other ancillary MCU stuff.
Well, and I mean series. I've heard Daredevil, the series, was really good by a couple of my trust, like two guys I know. Like
the original one.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Gary
yeah.
and Jim, who I didn't know was into this stuff, guys I used to work with 20 years ago, they love that show. So I guess it's, but I haven't watched like Agent Carter. Some of these series are supposed to be really good too. And I'm like, a lot of the series, I was just kind of going to watch some movies. I even haven't watched all those.
Yeah.
Like the Marvels.
Haven't seen the Marvels yet.
And the other one of a group, the
Eternals.
Yeah, right. I haven't seen a couple of
did
these.
We covered. I thought we covered the Eternals.
No, I don't. No, there's not. Isn't there another one too? That was like that. Or was it the Eternals? Maybe it was the Eternals.
I mean, there was Shazam in there, but we
that was right around Shanghai or
Shang-Chi. Yeah,
Shang-Chi.
Was I thought we covered the Eternals and Shang-Chi.
Well, they were right around the same time. Okay, yeah. Then I'm thinking of something else. Okay,
but either way, there's so many of them that we're not even able to remember, or like it's not vivid enough in our memory. Like, I didn't even realize Echo was out. Like, I knew.
Oh, you didn't?
No, I didn't even think of it. For a while. Yeah, too, I didn't even think of it. And now already, like, Acolyte, that's supposed to be coming out. It's a Star Wars.
Right.
You know, so it's. Anyways, we beat that dead horse all the time. Right. About how much is going on.
And during the 23 movie of the MCU, I wasn't missing any of them. Right. Now it's kind of like, you know, the fatigue has kind of caught up. But yeah. I do want to watch some of these. Echo's really good. It's only 5 episodes, they're 45 minutes or less. And it took me a while. I watched the first two, and I just got other stuff. It's really good.
Yeah.
Now it's ramping up. Kingpin's showing up and now then it's really good. So
anyways, yeah.
Gotta give him a chance.
The point is, I think that this is a franchise that is going to be a sleeper, or was a sleeper for me. And I think that they're starting to make, like, they've established themselves now.
Which is kind of nice.
They're the new kids on the block, but they've established
themselves. And we were running out of stuff to watch. So it's so nice that we have yet another thing to add to the list.
Right.
Right, Reed? The other listener? Yeah. He knows. Yeah. Him and I bitch about all the... We need to retire just to watch stuff and gain 400 pounds.
You know what? I'm taking a week off or Memorial Day because I'm just like, I gotta catch up on things. I think I might just be like, you know what? Half the day, I'm catching up on...
Seriously.
Half the day, I'll take care of the other boring stuff that I actually took, like, the day off, or, like, cleaning my garage and whatever.
The fun stuff.
The fun stuff. But, like, I could take 4 hours a day and just burn through all this stuff and actually catch up on it, you know?
Your kids
go want to take the week off?
Your kids go to date. Yeah, honestly, that's what I'm... Because I'm not going on any big trips that I know about this year.
I'm taking the week after... the week of Memorial Day off.
Right, I don't...
Yes.
So... I don't have 45 weeks of vacation like you do, but...
Yes, sir. My kids are going to be in daycare today. I wouldn't be taking off if they weren't.
Right. So I'm like, wait, you love your kids and all.
I'm thinking about going to work on Memorial Day just so I don't have to be around them. No.
But he does love his kids.
I love you guys. In 30 years, when you actually listen to this podcast.
You were great
Dad
kids.
Dad loves you. I just...
Well, by then they'll have their own kids. They'll understand. Right. You don't have to
explain. Oh, yeah, in 30 years. Maybe. Well, hopefully in 5 years they'll listen to this. I don't know.
Right.
But anyways,
you're full of life. That's all I say.
So that all being said, as Ryan said when he listened to our
are you guys on coke when you're talking? Is it
no? What he said, he's like, oh, I saw you guys had this Indiana Jones, and he's like, I've watched Indiana Jones. I'm gonna listen to it. And you're like, an hour in, you guys haven't talked about Indiana Jones yet. It's like,
so we didn't reel him into listening to more of them.
Well, and then he hadn't seen the newest one, so he's like, he had to pause it when we started covering the newest one, and I'm like, that's our thing. And he's like, you guys are so cutting edge. I'm like, well,
and cutting edge.
He's like, you guys are so on top of your stuff. You're so, like, up to date on things. And I'm like, yeah. But
was he was sincere? Like, he wasn't being sincere. Well, thanks, Ryan.
He's got one kid, and he's like,
he doesn't understand that's not the truth. Up, but, like, right.
But he's trying to catch up.
On the other hand, what I was thinking is, he's one of your good friends. How come he wasn't listening to this shit a lot sooner? What the hell's. He's got that kid. Yeah.
He's got a kid. Priorities. He used to be working like 120 hours a week. So.
Yeah. Stop. Even our podcast is better than working that many hours. So, yeah. Ryan, when you're listening, stop working so much, man. You're better than that.
Yeah, right. And now he's got a shorter commute. And anyways, that goes
to his point. Yeah. Let's get to the news.
So, anyways, we're not even going to be talking about Dune yet for another hour. So, the news, Mickey, what do we got? I know we got a decent list, not as long as in past episodes.
We've been doing these a little more recent than
quicker
than better words than I'm coming up. Anyway, we'll breeze through these. A new report says that the acting duo of Kevin Conroy and Mark Hamill will return as Batman and Joker in Justice League Crisis on Infinite Earths Part 3.
So a little...
Several actors will also make their Tomorrowverse debut.
So a little anecdote for that. I just, like, in the last, like, 4 hours posted something on the Monty...
Tom's got a knife and he's cutting open an action figure right now, just so you know.
Sorry.
I'm not joking. He really does.
I posted a... video of all the different versions of Batman over the past 85 years.
Yeah, I saw that.
I actually did one 5 years ago.
You add stuff right before I'm coming over just so I got to put more stuff on the list before I get over here.
Yeah, scribble it down.
Yeah.
So I did that. Take, and maybe I should do that. I will give away a pop, okay, to the first person that comments on this episode once we post it on how many times Kevin Conroy over the last 85 years has voiced Batman. It is insane.
You know the number.
I don't. I'd have to go back and actually count.
Oh, so you could win the pop even?
I could win my own pop.
Kind of defeating the purpose.
But needless to say, the guy is Batman.
Right.
Like, as much as Michael Keaton's Batman.
Or Adam West.
As much as Adam West is. Like, right. Kevin Conroy, when I think of Batman, the voice of Batman, he's done all of these animated series. He's done these movies spinoffs, which apparently he was just like in the studio recording before he died, because he died like 2 years ago or a year ago.
Oh, really? I didn't know he was dead.
So apparently, like, they took all these recordings and were like, hey, we have all this raw footage.
I just said they're going to return in the new upcoming series, and exactly. The guy's passed away.
Like, so this guy was like right up until his death just like hitting it hard.
Even as a ghost, he's going to be Batman.
AI, man. It's the future.
Right, yeah.
De-aging your voice.
Right.
So he did all of the Arkham.
Maybe it's a Marvel thing. He'll come back in another universe.
That's true.
Yeah.
He did all the Arkham games. He did all of these animated. He did the animated series. He did Batman Beyond. It was insane. Like, I knew he did a lot, but like, they actually went through and were like, here's this version of Batman and the person that played him. Here's this version. And it's like this. It's a pretty long.
It was
like
always
a 10-minute video, or not even. But it was like so many of the versions.
I
of
had
Batman
no idea, really.
Was Kevin Conroy,
right?
And so, anyways,
that's again, pretty cool.
This is why we take so long to get through in the news.
Well, right, but that's his legacy. That's a pretty cool legacy.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. I'd like to say I'm Batman in that voice.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you don't even like Batman, so imagine if somebody's a fan.
He's kind of a boring character.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't even have superheroes or powers. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. He's not even a superhero.
Right. Exactly. Sorry. I know I went too far. So, insider sources say Daredevil, which we were just speaking of, will have a significant role in Spider-Man 4. Marvel is also looking for another Avenger to join the film, with Ant-Man being at the top of the list.
Right.
That's pretty cool. Spider-Man movies have been great.
And I think that the last Ant-Man was not well received, but I still think that Paul Rudd is a fan favorite.
Oh, yeah. Well, he was the sexiest man alive like a year or two ago.
Great. I forgot. He's in the newest Ghostbusters. It just came
everything
out
he's in is good. He's funny. He's just good.
He was in the last Ghostbusters, and this is the new one.
I think he's
Frozen Empire.
To be in this one, yep. Yeah.
So yeah. We should do a Ghost. We did Ghostbusters, right? We did the first two.
I think we did.
We did a like a horror, and I think we did the first two.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
But
Monty and Mickey has been around for so long.
So many episodes.
We can't even keep track of how many.
Right. I don't even
know. We're a powerhouse to be reckoned with. Joe Rogan, you can kiss my ass. Right.
Probably don't want to say that guy's got a bit of a temper. Yeah.
Sorry. But we'll be on your podcast, man. Like, seriously.
But on the other hand, I can stand up and forget why I stood up. So I'm getting to that age. So, anyway.
You're getting older, not the other.
Not better. So, speaking of, you know, being in your head, Inside Out 2, only in theaters, June 14th. I love that first movie, so
yeah,
I'm looking forward to this.
That was good.
Maybe I'll see that. Netflix is to host the first ever boxing match featuring Mike Tyson versus Jake Paul, Saturday, July 20th.
Yeah.
Right, and neither one of us are big boxing fans, but who doesn't want to watch Mike Tyson destroy somebody or bite an ear off?
And I told you, I don't know if I ever brought it up in the Monty and Mickey Facebook page, not the Monty and Mickey Facebook page, Monty and Mickey podcast. And I think I might have even, we brought it up when my dad was on the podcast dad went to high school with
Mike
Tyson.
Yeah, we talked about it with him, yeah.
I cannot wait because, first of all, like, yeah, I've never really been
in boxing.
He's going to
say, hey, Monty Verdes, I'm going to eat your children.
This is for you.
I'm going to pummel this guy for you.
But you're
guys.
Exactly right. I cannot wait because Jake Paul is running his mouth. And it's a lose-lose for this guy.
Well, he's a big dude, but yeah, he's got nothing to gain from
He loses to Mike Tyson. He lost to an old guy because he keeps calling him old guy.
They expect like him to win, so he's got nothing to gain.
He loses to him. He just lost to an old guy. He beats him. He just beat up an old guy.
Right.
Like, it's like me going and playing some, you know, running track against a girl. It's like, okay, good. I beat a girl, Tom. You're great. Like, you did great.
Okay, wait. Some girls are fast too.
Right, but
or a little girl.
I should say,
Like I a 4-year-old girl.
If I raced my daughter.
Okay, yeah.
In like a 400-meter dash.
He doesn't mean women. He means a 4-year-old girl because he's a grown man. Yeah.
There are some. Yes.
Oh, there's really fast.
There's a whole nother conversation to be had about that. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll touch that with a 6-foot pole someday.
Yeah. But I'll get dirty.
But you get the point. It's me. Yeah. It's me playing basketball against my daughter or something.
Right.
Like, great. And I won. Six. I beat my daughter.
Right.
Or she beats me. God forbid.
You look like an idiot.
I lost my daughter.
And like, you never play basketball
this
again.
Guy, I don't know what his deal is. I don't know why
Mike
he's running
Tyson,
his mouth.
Whether he's not, he was never called a good boxer. He was a good fighter. No.
Right.
He's a good puncher. I mean, he just brings fierceness. He brings destruction. And he's got this ticking time bomb inside of him. So, yeah. I got to watch, I don't know if they called it the golden era, but, I mean, there was Evander Holyfield, mm-hmm. Buster Douglas, Lennox Lewis, all these guys. That was growing. And I didn't even get into it. But when I did, when somebody made me watch boxing, it was amazing because you had all these huge names that right. even people now have heard of. It's just kind of dwindled down. So right. to say something
it's not
like
as popular.
It's pretty awesome, yeah.
But,
and it's Mike Tyson, for God's sake. He's going to eat your children.
And so you got to also think about
it. He won't be bringing his tiger, though, so it's all fine.
And I know working out, I know youth, I know there's things that you look at and you're like, yes, this guy is a good boxer because of XYZ. Because he ran up the stairs like Rocky and he's been training, whatever. There's something to be said about that generation, though. And I will say this. Your generation and, like, my dad's generation. Because my dad would say, when he was in high school, if you ran your mouth, you better back
right.
it up.
That's what, yeah.
You better back it up you because you're going to get your shit kicked.
Right.
And you're not gonna run your mouth anymore.
No, and you didn't go telling the teachers and they didn't suspend you and it wasn't
nobody
a big
was getting sued.
Yeah, I'm going to kill you, man. I'm going to beat the shit out of you outside after school.
Yeah,
and
maybe you had bike racks type of
mentality.
You
either got your shit kicked out of you or you defended yourself. But it wasn't a big thing. It wasn't freaking, stop the world, stop the school. Everything has to shut down.
And from what I understand, people weren't running their mouths as much. Because you had to actually back up your shit.
We learned the good old-fashioned way.
We
policed ourselves, essentially.
When you have somebody like that, like Mike Tyson, who came from that background, who came from that like mentality of
right,
looking at the world.
He's older than I am, yeah.
He's going to bring something that's not how many push-ups you can do
right.
to that arena.
Well, and he's mellowed out. I guess he's a really, you know, nice, humble guy. He's kind of lost his anger, but that doesn't mean he doesn't know how to beat the shit out of
right.
somebody still. I mean,
right.
that still is a foundation.
He's not going to go down hard, I can tell you that.
No.
Like, if he loses, it's not going to be from a knockout.
I don't remember ever him getting knocked out.
Well, that's the other thing. I mean, we should do a whole freaking and have my dad on the podcast.
On that one,
Mike
yeah.
Tyson alone.
Right, especially
that's him. An interesting, I mean.
Well, that guy's life is crazy.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, not just the Hangover movie, which I love. His right. actual life.
I've got like insider, like antidote, like stories.
Because your dad kind of
that my dad
knew
has
him as a child,
that,
right.
that my grandpa had my grandma and his mom were friends.
Right.
Like, anyways.
Like you think Mike Tyson might even know who he was if you
yeah,
said
absolutely.
Your dad's name?
Yeah,
that's pretty. Even with all the concussions and stuff he's probably had, he might.
It might him. Take him a couple times, like double takes, but he would figure.
After
it out.
You remind him who he is,
right?
Yeah. You know, your children. I remember him saying that. I can never get over it. So, speaking of big dudes, Arnold Schwarzenegger will star as Santa alongside Alan Ritchson in The Man with the Bag.
I love this premise.
Well, that's it. Yeah, that looks pretty funny.
The whole premise is that somebody steals his bag of toys, and he has to go to the naughty list
yeah.
to recruit right. people to help him.
Alan Ritchson is the bad guy.
Like, definitely straight to streaming. I'm okay with that. But it's the concept is just so fun.
Right.
Like,
especially
it just feels so fun.
And Alan Ritchson's like a Marine
Jack
or
Reacher.
A military guy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He was
right.
the guy who played Jack Reacher.
Right. He's a badass.
He's in line to play Batman. Like, he's like, so right. like, just like those two, I'm like a buddy cop.
Just Arnold
action,
is Santa.
Like,
for God's sake.
Arnold Schwarzenegger is Santa, just running around beating the piss out of people.
Right.
And, like, the whole premise is, like, to get his bag of toys.
It's like the Santa movie we watched with the dude from Stranger Things, where he's just killing people,
oh,
blowing
Violent
people
Night.
Away.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Was,
and they're
yeah.
making a remake of that, too.
That was actually pretty good. It was kind of funny. It was
never,
an action movie.
I never got to watch that one.
Oh, you never did? I thought
no.
we covered that one.
We covered Spirited.
Oh, yeah.
We never
we
covered Violent.
Yeah,
we were talking
about
it, and we never.
I did watch it. It's good.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Anyways, this seems like along that same line.
Christmas
like
in March.
Like a funny, like...
Yeah.
Is
yeah.
it March?
No, I'm saying you should have Christmas
oh,
in March.
Oh, yeah. Movie. Well, I bought a couple Christmas comic books recently.
There you go. So you got the
where
theme
Santa's
going.
Like...
a badass with a... Anyways.
You're right.
There's too much to talk about.
You're right. Sorry. And we are good at it. In a skit at the 2024 Oscars, Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito face their old nemesis Michael Keaton as Batman dressed as Adam West's version of Bruce Wayne. I didn't see the skit, but I heard it's pretty good.
When you get a chance, go on, because I posted the video. Watch it, because this is all I have to say about it in the interest of time.
Oh, really?
Perfection.
Does Michael Keaton go up on stage?
He doesn't have to.
Oh, he does just sit in
his chair. Hand to him.
And he's
just sitting there looking at them.
With the smart-ass look.
Just like this like look, and then he goes. And that's all he does. He doesn't have anything. Talk. He doesn't talk. It's just perfection.
And, I mean, the first start of his career was all comedies. I've mentioned this before when we talk about him, because you love him as Batman. I love him. He started as a stand-up comedian.
Oh, yeah.
This guy was a stand-up, so he knows comedy.
That's why people were so pissed when he got cast for the first time, because they're like, how could they do a serious Batman?
Right, he's a funny guy. He can't, but he's really good at serious roles, too, as he proved in many roles. But, yeah, the guy's talented, and I love
Michael
Keaton.
Like, obviously, he was in on the joke before it happened.
Of course.
But it was hilarious. And
it's Arnold, Danny DeVito, and then Michael Keaton, for God's sake. Right. I mean, they were all in the Batman movies together, and they're just really like iconic guys.
And I don't know if you're going to get to it in a second, but he actually was wearing an outfit.
I said dressed as Adam West.
Oh, sorry.
Version of Bruce Wayne.
Yeah. Yep, exactly. Yeah, so, like, even to that point where he was like, man, this is just like, it just makes me feel
Which
great.
Tells you
like,
he did know about it, of course.
Yeah, of course. But either way.
That's how respectful they are of those characters, you know?
Yeah.
So good for them. On June 4th, The Acolyte premieres only on Disney Plus, as we mentioned, so looking forward to that.
I got a couple months for that, okay. For some reason, I thought that was... I've just been whirlwind.
Well, then we'll just have to find something else to do in the meantime, because, you know, there's...
I don't got anything else better to do.
So, speaking of Michael Keaton, on September 6th, Beetlejuice premieres only in theaters, with Tim Burton said he used stop-motion animation to bring back classic effects, so I'm looking forward to that.
Beetlejuice. Another lost art. Stop motion.
And that first movie was great, so it's about time they bring a sequel to that.
Yep, and it looks like, I mean, we say this about a lot of sequels, but
it'll be
Ortega, Olivia Ortega.
Oh, yeah, Wednesday.
Wednesday.
She's going to be hot anyway, but she's a great actress.
And they're bringing back mom from...
Michael Keaton's going to be Beetlejuice, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
They're bringing back the mom from...
Oh, Home Alone.
Home Alone.
Right.
So
So from Schitt's Creek, she's got a...
Yep.
Everybody knows her name. I'm just too stupid to remember.
O'Connor? Something O'Connor. But
yeah.
Anyways, it from the little bit that I've gotten as far as the preview goes, it looks like it's not going to be like a money grab. It looks like they're actually taking
it seriously.
And
doing a good job.
So, but we'll see. I don't know. We could be wrong. It could be a stinker, but... for what it's worth.
Catherine O'Hara.
O'Connor. Yeah. O'Hara.
Yeah. There's an O in there, you know.
There was a...
You gave him your O face. On April 17th, a Star Wars limited edition Blue Milk by Trumu will be released.
My daughter will be the first one in line at the grocery store to buy it.
You've been making it for her for a while.
She keeps asking me, everyone, can we make Blue Milk? Can we have Blue Milk?
Right. And, well, you made it for it. It was good. You actually did a good job.
Yeah.
Coming this fall to Max, next chapter in the Batman saga from Matt Reeves called The Penguin, starring Academy Award nominee Colin Farrell.
As someone who does not look like Colin Farrell at all.
Oh, really?
With all his makeup
on. Yeah, I didn't really recognize him in the pictures I saw.
I mean, if you remember from that first Batman, like, you wouldn't have known it was him.
Right.
Just based on watching the movie.
Well, and everybody knows what he looks like,
That one's been in the works for a while.
That's an idea, right. So, speaking of another good movie that's been around for a while, The Boondock Saints will be back for a new sequel, again starring Sean Patrick Flannery and Norman Reedus, Daryl himself, as trainers of new generation of vigilantes. That first movie came out, I loved it. I didn't think the second one was as good, but the first one was awesome.
And I think I saw the second one, and I think
somebody
stole
that movie from me, the first one. It was that good on DVD, not the actual reel from the theater.
They were going to say VHS, because that movie came out in like the 90s, didn't it?
Yeah, but DVDs was already around. Or maybe I got it later. I think I got it. Well, no.
I don't remember. Maybe it came out, the original release was a DVD, maybe.
I think, yeah, I don't know. But, it very well could have been.
But, yes, another class, Pulp Fiction,
Especially Memento. The first one. The second one wasn't as great, but the first Boondock Saints was really good.
When you start listing, like, those genre of movies, pop culture, like that's always at the top. Like it's
really, because I thought this was more like a cult favorite. I didn't like that. Not many people know about
maybe,
it as much as
maybe it is. Maybe it's just that what I pay attention to and like
right
the things that I'm into. Like maybe it's a false sense of popularity.
Well, but, I think over the years, because it's been around a while, it's probably gotten that. But mm-hmm. I think originally, like when I started hearing about it, and I wasn't the first one. I had buddies tell me about you got to go watch this after it had been out on DVD.
God, it's and it was so awesome. Good.
It's really good. It's
so good.
I Brian Cox, Sean Patrick Flannery, and Norman Reedus just those well, alone, and it's just
it was a firefight. Yeah. Isn't that movie right?
I think so. Yeah, it's been a while since I watched it.
Freaking the Green Goblin, whatever the hell his name.
Brian Cox. Yeah.
No.
Oh.
I
don't know what the hell you're talking about. Then.
I'm talking about the guy who played Green Goblin in the newest Spider-Man.
Willem Dafoe. Yeah,
he's the cop.
Right. He's the detective. He's the one, yeah.
And he like right. cross-dresses or something.
He's only from Appleton. Why the hell would we know
who the hell he is? And he just had a whole thing about being from Appleton.
Right, and he was just in
It place. Was a fire. Like, I just, like, that just scene.
Right.
It's just like, it's like the Shawshank Redemption. Like, you just, like, those scenes just stick with you.
Well, because like, he's kind of like a monk guy in this. He's got this special like OCD kind of thing.
That's
where
a perfect
he's got,
way to describe him.
Yeah. He's kind of just weird, but in tune, you know?
Yeah, right.
He's a good actor. I just saw something else with him in it recently.
Yeah, it was I really forgot good. William Dafoe was in that one.
I hope he's
in the new one. Did he get killed in the first one? I don't remember.
No, I think he kind of didn't. He was kind of rooting for them a little bit,
mm-hmm.
so he wasn't really against them. So.
That's right, because he was like going around and he was figuring out that it was like
they're vigilantes.
This isn't the podcast about Boondocks.
Right, okay,
I gotta stop myself.
Set for release in 2025, horror movie uniting characters like Winnie the Pooh, Bambi, Tinkerbell, Pinocchio, Peter Pan, Tigger, Piglet, the Mad Hatter, and Sleeping Beauty.
Sleeping Booty. That's a different.
There is a different. It's a different
that's a
genre.
Different meetup, right? A different team up.
You said meet them. Well, the Freudian slips are just spilling out of us. Sleeping Beauty called Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey. What? I mean, I keep saying they've run out of original ideas. This is an original idea based on old subjects.
So Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey has already come out. That's a movie you can go watch it.
Oh,
I don't know what streaming service or where it is. That is our. So they're building on that universe.
Oh, okay.
And I think it's the same idea as what they were doing with the Mickey Mouse, you know, that horror Mickey Mouse now that it's in the public domain.
Or like Abe Lincoln, the Vampire Slayer, and all that kind of stuff.
Same idea. It's like they're taking this, like, but they're doing it in such a way that it's like this beloved children's character, and they're like, we're going to turn him into a horrific serial killer.
Well, like we just talked about Santa being a horror flick. Yeah, they're just taking these
again, you
know, healthy, fun-loving kids to stories and turning them into brutal massacre.
Is it probably going to be on the same lines as Sharknado? Yeah, probably. Am I going to watch it and laugh my ass off?
Right.
Yeah,
just for that reason. Sure. I want to see Bambi kicking ass.
I want to see Tinkerbell. Bambi gore someone and then Tinkerbell cut their head off. Like, who doesn't?
And maybe Sleeping Booty will be in there. Yeah. So, speaking of weird, Happy Gilmore 2 officially in works at Netflix. Yeah, so
again,
they are coming out with sequels for literally everything nowadays.
Yeah.
I never thought there'd be a sequel to that.
That one seemed like one that was safe, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Adam Sandler's run out of ideas, too. Like everybody else
well, did. That's the thing, is I don't know that he has. I think he probably just got convinced to do it, because he's got so many good ideas. I mean,
has he done anything recently that was really any...
It's been a lot of Netflix stuff.
Right.
And not that that's really? Bad.
I didn't even know that.
Like, you go and watch, like, I think we talked about it. I don't know if we covered it. Probably not. Hubie Halloween. I watch that every year.
Oh, yeah. It's
fucking hilarious.
I think did we cover it? We mentioned it.
We might have mentioned it, or we might. But, like, those types of movies. What is it? The
that's
the
animated, one with, right?
The one with Jennifer Aniston. He's got a sequel to that one. Like, he did the original one. They're like, it's like Clue. Like, they're solving a murder or something. And then there's another one where they're, like, on a boat. So, like, he's doing all these movies, and it's really just him being like, you know what? Screw it. I'm just going to have fun with my friends.
Right, and some of the premises are kind of dumb, and the writing's not always that great, but he's making money, and he's doing what he wants, so I don't blame him. Yeah, right.
Like, I'd be doing the same thing. Like, I don't have to work hard. I can work with people that I enjoy.
Right.
And still make more money than most of us will ever
see. Well, what are the movies? Adults or whatever?
Grown-ups.
He did two of those because
Kevin James.
All the SNL guys. Except for Kevin James, who they all know because he's been around for that long. Yeah.
Right.
Stand-up comedians. They'll, I mean, he just made a movie like, with a bunch of smart asses,
And Kevin James was in Hubie Halloween, and all of his, like, Murderers Row of all of the guys.
Right.
Like, all of them were in
there. Oh, some of those guys that are only actors because of Adam Sandler.
Like, that guy
Rob was in Schneider, there. But that guy's from SNL. He's got a couple buddies in all these movies that only came around because of Adam Sandler.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, like, they've been in every freaking movie in some sort. You'd know who they were when you saw their faces, but yeah, that's...
But,
and good for him.
And again, if somebody critiqued that, and I think somebody like reposted the article, and they're like, "Yeah, why wouldn't you do that if you were in his position?"
Right.
Like, he's having fun.
He doesn't need the money.
He's using his Happy Madison production, so like, it's not like he's being told what to do and how to do it.
And if they fail miserably, so what? He doesn't need the money, and he's just
right. Yeah. Like, he's just like, "Oh, I'm keeping."
And if it is, and if it is successful, then he makes a shit ton of more money.
Yeah, exactly. So. Anyways,
yeah.
All right, so 35 minutes in, that's a new record for us.
Wow. So.
To be shorter.
Good episode, everyone.
Yeah.
Getting old is mandatory.
We did talk about Dune at the beginning. So
we did.
This isn't an episode not about Dune.
Right.
All right, so Dune. This movie came out, the original one, and I say original as in most recent original. Why don't I stop talking?
1985 was the first one. The most recent one, 2.5 hours long, as we mentioned, came out in 2021. It's actually called Dune Part 1, technically. Starring Timothy Chalamet, Rebecca Ferguson, Zendaya. I like her. She's beautiful.
It still blows really my mind that she played an adult.
She's so good in everything.
The Greatest Showman.
Right.
And then, like, a teenager in...
In this, even. I mean, she's younger.
In the Spider-Man movies.
Right. Oh, yeah. She's Mary Jane, yeah.
What's the... There's a series on HBO that she was in. It was like really like they were doing drugs and it was a bad. Anyways,
so she was in that too. She's got range.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Oscar Isaac, Moon Knight. That guy's in everything. Like, yeah. Jason Momoa. Josh Brolin.
Who arguably played less time in a better character than the entirety of Aquaman.
Right. Right. Like, exactly. Yeah, and I mean, Aquaman was, that's all right, but yeah. And, you know, speaking of more, you know, superhero guys, Josh Brolin and Dave Bautista.
Yeah, Dave Bautista.
Four of these guys, yeah. Oscar Isaac, like, Jason Momoa.
Bam, 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 bam.
Right,
bam,
these are all DC and Marvel heroes. Yeah, it's freaking awesome.
So they took their time with this. They got the right people. They didn't rush it.
Big time actors that everybody loves. So I'll just give a quick synopsis that I read on... you know, the big one, LMDB.
I thought you were going to say the internet.
Yeah.
The big one, guys.
The World Wide Web.
You've
heard
web.
Of this thing? You can get information
about
everything.
You're the guy that
still
types www in front of every website, right?
Yeah. No, that's my dad.
HTML://
Yeah, exactly.
www.
Wait, which way does the slash have to go? So
the
keyboard
doesn't have that way.
A noble family becomes... embroiled in a war for control over the galaxy's most valuable asset, while its heir becomes troubled by visions of a dark future. Pretty vague, but
yeah.
I mean, like I said, it's along the lines of Star Wars. It's in a desert world, which that's another thing that's consistent. They're always on the same planet. They're not bouncing around. That's why it's not so hard to follow. They're in the same,
There's
climate.
A lot less world jumping.
Right.
So and I think in the first
even
movie,
when they do jump from scene to scene, they're all still on the same planet in the same climate and the same scenery,
And I think in the first movie, they were really only on
you mean the 1985?
No, I'm sorry, the 2001.
Oh.
I hadn't seen the 1985 one.
This is the 2021, you mean?
The 2021, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, well,
sorry.
The one we're talking about.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Oh. In that movie, I think they only show scenes from the original House Arrakis planet and Dune. Like, these are the only two planets that they ever actually show.
Right.
They show some space scenes and some... I take that back. The House Atreides, the Arrakis are the people... God, that's another thing. The world building, as much as it is annoying, is amazing.
Like, right.
You can't knock that.
Like, and they developed the characters really well. In a movie or two, they developed a lot of characters really well. I mean,
relatable,
you feel like you know them.
Yeah.
Yeah, whether they're relatable or whether they're turning bad or whatever, you knew who they were,
And
just coming along.
Obviously, if you've been listening to us for a while, spoilers, we're going to be talking about things that happen in both movies and especially in the newest movie.
But this is supposed to take place in the year like 10,100 or something.
Yeah, so it's way supposed to be in advance.
A futuristic sci-fi movie where
interplanetary. In the desert. Wait, that's weird. It's way in the future, but they're still trapped in a desert with not much technology. Makes sense.
Interplanetary travel is possible, but only with this spice, this resource that also doubles as a drug. So think of like if gas, people were really addicted to getting high on gas. Like, that's equivalent.
Or if they were sitting in their basement and just smelled it from out of nowhere.
We don't want to talk about
that. Okay, sorry. That one hits too close to home, literally. Literally hits too close to
home. We could be doing the Monty and Mickey podcast in a homeless shelter right now.
But... or just with a foundation underneath us. Yeah, not much else.
Right. As long as my man cave survives.
Right, as long as the toys are good. We can have a foundation. Oh, these are concrete walls.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, you can find it on TNT for Dish and cable subscribers. Also on HBO Max and Hulu.
I was going to say, I watched it on HBO Max and...
And Hulu, I guess. You can pay for it. You can rent it off Hulu.
Yeah. I think it's a WB property, too. I think. Okay. I'd have to go back and look. So the only reason I say that is because HBO has all the WB properties.
Right. So
Warner Brothers properties. But anyways.
There's ways to get to it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, the only notes I've got is it's definitely got a Star Wars type feel. And those aircraft that resemble the dragonflies, those are really cool. Awesome. You don't see those in a lot of other movies.
Thopter, I think is what they called it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. The concept, because you see all these jet-powered ships in most sci-fi movies.
Yeah, they do have technology that way.
Right.
Way beyond. But otherwise, they're just walking around in the desert like nomads, you know?
The two things that stuck out to me was the Thopter and the little shield things.
Sound like Mike Tyson when you say that. I'm just saying. Sorry.
I can't do it as good as you. I'm not even going to try. I'm going to embarrass myself.
I can do that lisp, and I can do this other lisp that people say I do really well, too. Just saying. Okay, I'll stop.
There's probably a
some issues going on in my head.
No, a video of... Now I'm just thinking of gay Mike Tyson, but anyways.
There's got to be.
Sorry, a Mike Tyson with a lisp. That's an overgeneralization. Feminine Mike Tyson. Not all gay people.
You didn't say
like
there was
that.
Anything wrong with being gay either.
I didn't even. Yeah, I didn't. I'm digging myself.
Not that there's anything wrong with it.
What's going on? Trouble. I don't know which way is up.
I'm going to get out of here, but I'm going down.
I'm trying to get out of here. But what I was going to say is, I feel like that technology and then the whole like. Tap your Apple Watch and you have this like shield over you.
It's weird.
That is so cool.
They're nomads walking around the desert, but they do have some technology that, you know, like we've been waiting for the jetpacks forever since that movie. But, you know, we haven't had them, but they've got it. They just don't have much.
And I equate it to like when you go to like third world countries and you're like, well, they got TV. Well, yeah they got
or a homeless person with an iPhone.
Right.
Like, wait, like they, you don't have a place to live, but you have a $900 phone. I don't understand.
But so those couple things, like that world building, and I'm always, when I'm in the mood and I have the actual like time to process it, I am a sucker for world building. You give me a good book with this really intrinsic, if you guys are fans of
I just don't believe you. I don't know what you're talking about.
You guys are a fan of the...
I'm looking around at all his worlds going on in the man cave that he's created. So, yeah. He does. He's not exaggerating.
But what I was going to say is if anybody's read the Court of Thorns and Roses, the Crescent City books, yes, it's got some smut in it. But
oh, it's erotica?
It's not.
You're watching old-fashioned porn? You're looking at old-fashioned porn? Good for you, Monty.
The world building.
Oh, sorry.
The world building.
I thought we were going somewhere else.
It's so good. And that's what I loved about this. Because it's very parallel, which is crazy because it came before Star Wars, but it's very parallel to Star Wars in that respect.
Right.
But it's completely different world, right?
And the story
I'm so used to that style being Star Wars.
Right. But it is, and the storyline's even similar. But I mean, good versus evil, all that stuff. There's a love story. How do you differ from that too much? I did see a lot of parallels, but I still wanted to watch it Whereas if it was an exact replica, I'd be like, screw this. It's just a knockoff.
But nobody,
it's not how it is.
But nobody, because Star Wars is so unique. I mean, the only thing that comes close is Star Trek, and that's even a stretch, I think.
But that's just space.
I really don't even think that you could, like, people always try to make those comparisons.
Right. They're not really people, comparable. They're so freaking polarizing for
there's
some reason.
There's star in both of them.
Right. They're out in space. But
this is the first time.
This is similar to Star Wars, way more than Star Trek, but it's just, but it's done so well that you still want to follow it.
And this is the first time I would say that Star Wars has ever had an actual competitor.
Right.
Or like,
that's along the same lines. Right.
Equivalent story.
Right.
Because
well said.
You have this, you know, there's the Emperor and there's this, all these things. And like, it's very similar, but there's the sci-fi aspect of it.
And it still differs enough to keep your interest.
There's enough. Yeah. And it's different. And like I said, it's in a good way. It's like, don't get me wrong. I enjoy a really intriguing Star Wars, you know, movie, TV show, but we've lived in that universe for so long.
Right.
It's just refreshing, like, to be able to come and see something new.
Ironic because it is older, like you said.
But that's the thing. It's like, I'm okay. Like, go dig up these books.
Right.
Go make movies out of these books. Like, we don't need, you know, The Expendables 42 or Fast and the Furious 75.
Oh, God, exactly.
Go look at what has been done. That's what they did when they came with The Lord of the Rings, right?
Right.
Those books were insanely popular.
Right. Harry Potter, those kinds of things.
Exactly.
Right.
So I think that this really struck the, like, exact perfect good story, popular topic, popular, you know, actors and
storyline,
quality.
Yeah.
Like, it was like
it had everything.
They didn't rush it in a way that I've seen other movies done that
DC.
Makes me sad.
DC movies. Sorry. Yeah.
Yes.
DC well, I mean, movies, they have, like you said that earlier in the episode, they have the storyline, they have all the keys in place, they just didn't do it right. They didn't follow through with it. But, and like you say, this has been around longer. And they had a chance in 1985. That's why I keep, you know, ringing in my head.
I got to watch it.
Yes, I still haven't. I was alive back then. You weren't even alive yet. But I don't know why they didn't build off it then.
Mm-hmm.
It just makes me wonder because it was popular.
Right.
So, yeah.
See, even before this 2021 movie came out, like, even before that, I would hear in certain circles, like, Dune.
Right. Like, exactly.
Star Wars, Lord of the Rings, Dune.
Like, right. So it was well received. That, so why didn't they milk it back then? That's what I can't.
Yeah.
Must have been a reason. But yeah, it's really good.
But
and there, like you say, there's a lot of parallels, a lot of similarities to Star Wars, but there's a lot of differences too. Mm-hmm. I mean, the fact that he's kind of like a prince. Like, I know, like, Luke is, you know, he's the last Jedi, or, you know, that they think he is until they find out, oh, he's got a twin sister that he made out with. Oh, I mean. So
it sounds a lot weirder when you say it out of context like that.
And Family Guy is even better at saying it out of context. But I mean, he's like a chosen one kind of thing, but he is the only one. And I mean, but they actually have these powers, which is similar to the Force, but they can see the future and stuff. And, you know, all these, as I'm saying it, it sounds similar, but they make it seem different still. And it's just, like you say, some of these things you can't really make that much different if you want to build a story. These are aspects that just have to occur, but they still keep it so different enough that you are intrigued and you want to follow it and you want it to build, like you said.
And
so
and it's crazy to me.
Same kind of universe, but.
And it's crazy to me because the lore is so rich. I mean, we can't cover all of it. Like, go watch Screen Crush is one of my favorite recap videos on YouTube right now. Go watch. He does a terrific job. He does Easter eggs. He recaps the whole movie. This is one of my go-to YouTube channels to do this kind of stuff so I can be well prepared for the podcast.
Sure.
But a couple key things I want to point out. The witches, the Bene Jesuit or whatever they're called.
Yeah.
His mom is part of this, like, basically coven of witches. And their whole shtick is they are selectively breeding people with abilities in order to create these humans who are just very, very powerful, right?
Almost along,
have these abilities.
Along the lines of the clones from Star Wars.
Kinda.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, right. They're, or that the you know, the Jedi are going and picking force sensitive people,
right?
And, yeah,
right.
You know, the same idea, but they're doing it through like eugenics, which that's a whole other thing that we don't, you know.
Yeah,
bad idea, right?
Right.
Don't. But anyways,
but it's
their whole thing is they've been doing this for thousands
right.
of years,
right?
So a couple hundred years prior to the events of the first Dune, they like insurgent style went to Dune. Knew that this was going to be a planet that's important, right? And basically embedded in their culture a Messiah story
yeah.
about someone who would come, like a Jesus figure.
Right, exactly.
And they, so
that's why it's a little different than Star Wars, because, again, it existed first before the Star Wars world. So it's, if anyone's stealing, it's George Lucas from these ideas, but I'm not sure that's what happened. But, yeah, it's not... You know, the last Jedi or someone who can save the Republic. It's the Messiah. He's going to save the universe. He's going to save all of us.
He is the equivalent to
Jesus
character. Right,
exactly.
And the thing is because these people have heard this story.
For so much.
This oral tradition has been passed down from generation to generation to generation. They believe it as a prophecy, as a fact.
Right.
And... It's crazy.
Even though he's telling him, I'm not really that guy. I'm not the guy. I know I fit all
by
these...
the way, all my mom's friends planted this idea in your head
right.
a couple hundred years ago.
Right, exactly. So I just happen to be the kid they had that can fit in the place of it, but I'm not that guy. I'm not really that guy. Yes, you are.
Oh, that guy doesn't exist because he was made up. He was fabricated.
Right, but to some degree, that's what faith, the idea of faith can be. You know, we believe it strong enough that it becomes right. reality.
That's
how our minds work as humans.
What was the line from Indiana Jones, actually? He said, it wasn't what I've found over the years of my exploring is it's not so much about what people believe, but how hard they believe.
Right.
How devoted
to those beliefs.
And so it's crazy to me because you have that backdrop, which you have to peel back the layers. And I actually watched like the first half of the first Dune twice because I'm like, this is heavy. This is a lot.
Yeah.
Right? You have
There's a lot of dialogue, too, so you got to pay attention.
And this is what I was going to say, though, that I brought up something earlier that jogged my memory, is they didn't rush it.
Right.
They had a part one. They had a part two. In 1985, they did not do that. They did one, and it was
right.
a shorter movie than either one of those.
And maybe movies. That's why I was a little overwhelming. Maybe that's why they didn't build on it, or they just...
The first book is covered in part one and part two.
Right. And so they give you time to gradually develop the characters, and there is a lot of dialogue, but you got to pay attention, and it's all important. It's not right. just, oh, they could have cut that half an hour out, you know?
And they never, and this is why I love movies so much, or part of the reason why, they never do something that's just filler, right? When you have right. that much information you're trying to convey. So, for example...
They got to cut stuff out, in fact.
It comes back later on in the second movie, but that whole, like, desert mouse thing.
Yeah.
Like, he sees a... projection of a desert mouse when he's researching and learning about the planet, and then he ends up in their native language. That's his war name, right? Or his right. warrior name, right? Is right. whatever that language, desert mouse, is essentially what it means.
Yep.
And so, like, those little things where it's like, yes, it can be boring, it can be a little dry, but my God, I mean,
but
you're watching Josh Brolin teach him how to fight, like, that's cool.
Right.
Like,
and everything has significance. So right. it might seem like it's mundane and why unnecessary, but it all has significance. It's, you know, not even Easter eggs, but part of the story, you know.
One of the, in the story, and this is what differentiates it, right? You have action movies, right? Big explosions, oh, chase scene, whatever.
Right.
What differentiates this movie from a lot of those types of movies is the story is paramount.
Right.
The relationships are paramount. The story is paramount. The plot is paramount. Like, that is the most important aspect of this movie.
Right.
The other stuff supports that.
Right.
And I think that's the difference.
And a big part of it is these freemen, like you say, they're nomads, you know, living in the desert. That's all they've ever known. So
right.
these other characters come along and they don't trust them because, you know, that's all they've ever... And they talk about other parts of the world where it's not just sand. They're like, oh, really? That really does exist? I thought
yeah.
those were just... fairy tales.
Right.
And another thing I like about this that isn't Star Wars is how they train the sandworms.
Mm-hmm.
And these sandworms are actually become, I mean, these are huge creatures, you know, deadly creatures that will, you know, destroy
each the scale. But they shocked me. They're huge, right?
But so they're, you know, they're like the Rancor in Star Wars along those lines as far as training them. You're not training them. They're not your pet, but you can control them well enough to use them to your advantage.
Yeah. They allow you to ride
them. They allow you to ride them, exactly.
Yeah.
And those, and that, there's some really cool footage because of that, too.
And that those scenes, yes, again, but it's the relationship with the sandworm, the lore, the significance of it, that all builds to that scene.
Right, it's all still it based on that core.
It makes it so much, it hits you so much better. Right. So one of the best lines, and I literally had to, I think I rewound it. I definitely watched it twice. But in the first movie, one of the best lines of dialogue that I heard, because you're getting to know these characters and you understand, okay, he's a prince, his dad's the king, he's the king of this house, Atreides, and he's sitting there.
He's seeking revenge for his family's death, so he's got...
Oh, well, in the second one.
Right, oh yeah.
So in the first one...
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Before Oscar Isaac dies...
I'm combining stories, yeah.
Spoiler alert, he dies.
Yeah.
But before that happens, when they're on their home planet, one of the most powerful things that, like, completely changed my perspective about this family, about this, you know, royal family, is when he's sitting there and he's talking to him and they're in the cemetery of all his relatives that have died in the past, and he's talking to him and he's like kind of talking about his future and what he wants to be and all these types of things, and he's like, well, grandpa was a, like, he wants to go to Arrakis sooner, right? And he's like, well, I need to protect you, and he's like, well, grandpa was a bullfighter,
golfer, oh sorry.
And they're kind of going back and forth, and you're learning a lot about who they are. But one of the most powerful things and how I knew I was going to love Oscar Isaac as this character was, he was talking to him about taking over as the king.
Mm-hmm.
It's been done to death, right? You need to be this person.
Right.
You need to breed with a... You need to go and marry into a house. You need to strengthen our alliance. And that was
like
not...
Braveheart.
Braveheart.
You got, yeah, right.
Game of Thrones. I mean, name it, right? Any royal family.
Just old school.
This was
brute and
so
force.
Refreshing to hear him say, if this is your path, you will take it.
Right.
If you find your way, if this... He was
He's not telling them, this is how you got to rule, this is how you got to dominate, you got to let them know that you're in charge. He was saying, if it's your destiny... You'll figure out the way to do it.
He didn't put that pressure on his son.
Right.
Insane concept.
Right, exactly.
Like, yes, the Pocahontas coming from to a new world to basically take advantage of resources. The Avatar movies, right? All this idea has been done
real life times.
It's happened in real life.
Yeah.
But that aspect was so refreshing and different. Because you just expect,
you don't really want
to
be king.
You don't even
have
to pay attention to a scene like that in any other movie. It's like, yeah, he's going to tell him he's got to do his duty as the royal family.
You got to dominate. You got to be strong.
It just was so different. Of,
if you don't want to be king, you don't really have to.
Yeah.
Really?
If this isn't your path, like, and
that's
that
awesome.
To me showed so much of, like, who he was as a dad.
Right.
Which then paid off later in the movie when he died. Because it wasn't just a adversarial relationship of, like, he's my dad, he's the king,
I have to do what he says,
like,
I'm next in line,
I respect this
I
man.
Love this man, he taught me how to be a good man,
right?
So yeah,
and exactly, so that's kind of where I'm going with it, is, you know, it was so much more powerful because of that dialogue. All right, so I guess what I'd like to at least do is, like, the 5-second recap is essentially the house that comes to... The Emperor tells them to go to Dune, take over spice mining. It's a trap. Another house basically surprises them, kills all them, and it's a house that they've been warring against for centuries. And essentially, it's a big, you know, conspiracy with the Emperor and all this stuff. But these Bene Gesserit people, right... They have a lot of sway in this universe, and so
they were
explicitly told, don't kill Paul, don't kill his mom.
Right.
And there's a whole other thing, again, can't get into the weeds too much, but apparently in this world, or at least these witch people, they can decide what gender their baby is, because there's a line where they're talking about, and they're like, you were supposed to have a girl. And she's like, well, I thought I could make, because basically two lines, two like very important bloodlines came together when Paul was born.
Right.
And she apparently decided that he was going to be a boy. That's a thing that they can do in this universe.
Well, Star Trek, there's a race that has that ability too, and they actually make them all male.
Mm.
Or they, and anyone that, you know, gets out, they kind of put them in, you know, isolation.
Oh.
Any female. So, yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And that concept's been established before, but yeah, yeah, it's weird.
But to my point of the slow burn, develop the plot, develop the people, this entire story doesn't really get super exciting until like the last 10 minutes of the movie.
There's a lot of development. And then my last note from watching that movie was, holy crap, everybody's dead.
Yeah. Right.
And like you say, the buildup is, again, there's a lot of dialogue, there's a lot of buildup, but it's entertaining. You're not once looking at your watch. It's just a little slower than an action movie, but there's a reason. It's right. Like you said, it's gradual development, not just shoved down your throat and then understand it on your own, you know?
And admittedly, it's just like anything else. I mean, Star Wars, perfect example that I say, why is Kylo Ren's lightsaber the way it is? Well, they don't ever talk about it. You have to do some digging, right?
Right.
This is a similar situation in this movie. There is some of that, but they touch on all the very important stuff, and it doesn't take away from it.
You don't have to dig. I don't typically do a whole lot of that because I'm doing enough research for this and the other podcasts in general.
Which, by the way, Badger Bazaar, those last two episodes have been killing it. You guys have been doing great.
Thanks, man. And I loved The Lost Dolphin. And
so interesting. Because
it's so different than the other stuff we normally do. Yeah. And then the
Devil's Lake. That was another place
Devil's Lake.
Ryan and I were actually looking at going. Right. And I'm glad we didn't, because apparently we would have just died mysteriously.
And even the one before that was The Exorcism.
Mm.
You know, mm-hmm. Exorcism of Anna Eklund.
That stuff is always
just really different. Yeah, right.
I loved The Exorcism of Emily Rose,
right,
that movie when it came out. So yeah,
we even
when you guys
that.
Were like talking about it, and you're like, right, this is based on that movie. I'm like, well, shit.
And that's, you know, so my point was, sorry, I do a lot of research. No, I appreciate you saying that. That's really, yeah. I mean, because I love doing both these podcasts, and I do a lot of this research, so I don't necessarily dig into the movies as right. much like
it's
you
just
do.
A time thing. Yeah.
So you wouldn't need to and still enjoy this and right. still get a total grasp of what's going on as far right. as the storyline.
And it might take a rewatch, but it's not impossible. Like, it's not right. like we have to know all this stuff about.
Well, you can think about what you said, because it wasn't just crammed in your head and overwhelming. You can reflect on it and laugh and go, okay, and just figure it out as you're going without having to rewatch it if you don't want to.
And what we touched on earlier, I think, is the important part of this, is the pacing. And right. the jump between characters, between worlds, between scenes. They minimize that
right. exactly.
so much that they're saying, okay, we're going to follow these characters. They're going to be in this spot. Okay, we're going to go show a scene with the weird guy that can float, which that's a whole other thing I got to research as to why the hell he can even do that.
Yeah, right.
And that Skarsgård, right?
Yeah.
One of the Skarsgård people, like, or relatives, whatever. That family, he's in this, Bill Skarsgård or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah, there's a lot of big
shit.
Names too. Yeah. Right.
But you're absolutely right. The end of this movie ends, and I'm glad I didn't have to wait 2 years to watch the follow up because it was so
dramatic.
Like, you're like, oh my gosh. And then
it's
he
like,
ends up killing
you know,
that guy at
Empire,
the very end.
Empire Strikes Back, real depressing note that it ends on, which most movies don't do that, even if they know that there's
right.
a movie coming afterwards.
And yeah. and they played that in a really, like, there's hope. It's
right.
not there yet. You can see, though, the potential
right.
for this.
You know something's you coming know. Because they're not going to end it here.
Right. right. And so the end of the movie basically is, so part of what these Bene Jesuits can do is the voice. They use the voice where it's like this deep voice that basically mind controls people. And you, like, tell them, like, bring me the water. And, like, they, like, just have an out-of-body experience
right.
and do what you say.
Right.
And so they're able to use that ability to basically crash the thopter and get away.
Right.
And you don't actually see... You see the sandworm in the middle of the movie, but then you see it again at the end of the movie, and it's... That's a whole... Like, the sandworm is as much of a character
yeah.
as Paul Atreides.
When they're
is,
using it to their advantage, right. Because... They actually had to train Paul to do how to do it. And he's like, oh, I can, you know, you don't just go out and do it.
Right.
And, you know, he does it the first time because he's like this chosen one. He does have special abilities and all that stuff. But it's, I mean, they got to get in stance. I mean, it's a big thing to get this to do it without, you know, being eaten.
Right.
Because you could, it's life or death to some degree too, trying to control these things. So, yeah.
And we talk about like all the other technology too. I mean, the thumper thing that like, yeah. and like the whole sand walking, right. we didn't even talk yeah, about those sand
little,
walking.
Yeah, and those little things they put down for
to
the thumper.
Attract
yeah.
the, you know, because the whole point is that the sandworms recognize regular patterns, regular, you know, sounds like
pulses,
radar,
basically.
And they understand that that's prey, right?
Right.
So, all that being said,
and they even got to walk funny so that they leave different trails.
Right, so that they're not, you know, regularly walking and
like
it's,
humans,
it's a whole
yeah.
thing.
Right.
So the end of it, he meets up with Zendaya, with Johnny, and he's actually starting, like, it's a very first, like, introduction into this group of people called the, is it the Atreides?
The Freemen.
Freemen, yeah. And so there's this group of people that live out in Dune. And they've lived there.
They didn't want to accept them at first. So like, you, we don't trust other outsiders and stuff. Right. And you know, and then they start to realize they're good people. They have good, you know, a good agenda. They're not trying to hurt anybody. So they let them in a little bit.
What was crazy to me, though, is they do that chant of like, he's the chosen one. He's the chosen one. Like, right. as he's coming off the ships.
Right.
Like, there's
some
even this, like, recognize.
Some of them.
Yeah. Right.
Part of the Freeman does or whatever. Yeah. And there's other people that are like, whatever. There's no way he's that guy. He doesn't know
right.
squat.
So, right. Yeah. And there's a whole subplot with, you know, Aquaman going out and meeting with them and understanding their culture.
Right.
And like,
which is weird because they're in the sand and Aquaman.
Sand.
Oh, wait. He's not.
Sand power, right? That's his dad's whole thing, right?
Right.
We need, we've got air power. We've got whatever. We need the sand power. We need the, we need the presence, the alliance with this culture. And that's why he wanted to be different, right? He didn't want to be like the people that were there before. He wanted to have this symbiotic relationship. He didn't right. want to be just going out and killing them.
Right.
And
he doesn't want to dominate them. He wants to, you know, be part of their culture.
He wants to, yeah, okay, hey,
combine
I was told to do this. I have to do this.
Right.
You know, and... Again, there's so much about that. Like, how much did it cost them to come and do this, like, weird ceremony, right? Yeah. And, like, the whole, you know, pomp and circumstance that goes along with that. We didn't right. even touch on that. Like, how, like, they basically knew they were going there to get massacred. Or
right.
Everybody knew that.
Right.
Anyways.
Trying to change their destiny, but.
So, Dune Part 2, the first part of Dune Part 2, I think, went a little bit quicker than I would have liked. I know they had to get through a lot.
Right.
But there was a lot they covered.
And it's a two hours and 46 minute right. movie. And it, 2024, it just came out, like you said. The synopsis is Paul Atreides unites with Johnny. I thought it was Johnny. It says C-H-A-N-I. I'm like, yeah, that's
oh,
how
really?
It's spelled. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, makes it sound like it.
They don't have J's in the desert.
So. Apparently, yeah. They pronounce
enough
things.
Water for it.
Yeah, exactly. Their lips get too
That doesn't make any sense, but we don't think about it too much.
So Johnny and the Freeman, while on a warpath of revenge against the conspirators who destroyed his family, facing a choice between the love of his life and the fate of the known universe, he endeavors to prevent a terrible future only he can foresee.
And again, with this whole lineage, breeding, selective breeding, all these other things, he can has these like dreams that like foreshadow things and he can see the future and he can see the past. And so they heavily lean into in the second movie, the idea of this savior. And he, like Mickey had mentioned, he's like, nope, it's not me. Like that's, I'm just a guy. Like, I just want to be a part of this. I just want to help.
And
I just want to seek
and
revenge.
And these abilities I have, you can be trained. Like
right.
that I've been trained how to do this my whole life. That's why I can do it. Anyone can do it. He's kind of just passing it off like I'm not that guy until, you know, he starts
he embraces it.
Right.
But his mom is
and the
like,
Emperor
no,
is Christopher
up.
Walken. Like, so Christopher Walken's in this.
Florence
and,
Pugh?
And Florence Pugh, yeah, some big names that are added on.
And so. The movie starts out with Florence Pugh basically journaling in her futuristic journal. And I guess the entire book was really written as like the history of this conflict through the character of Florence Pugh.
Well, through her point of view.
Like
really?
As a
like a memento or whatever of
this. Sure.
So
like the Diary of Anne Frank.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like right. the same
different
concept.
Perspective about a bigger story.
And she's talking about what actually happened. And that's the idea in the book, right?
What were you gonna say about his mom's Paul's mom?
But I was just gonna say is like it's really interesting to me that she's part of this Bene Gesserit, this whole thing, like this whole conspiracy. Conspiracies on conspiracies, right? Like
right.
She was part of this group that planted the seed, so she's like, no, just shut up.
She's trying to convince
just
them.
Let them think this. Like,
and you can see her starting to turn.
And she gets the tattoos, and she becomes the mother.
Not right? Mike Tyson. She's not Mike Tyson, but different kind of tattoos.
Different kind of tattoos. She's pregnant at the time, right?
Right.
Like, there's a whole subplot of her telepathically communicating with his sister. And in the original movie, they actually
his sister
show
who's in the womb. That sister.
Yes. That's, I'm
telepathically
sorry.
Telepathically communicating with the baby. You said she's pregnant, but yeah, those two things are the same. She's telepathic. His sister is the one that's still in the womb.
That's what I meant. I didn't mention the fact that she's talking to her in the womb.
Baby. Yeah. Right.
In the original 1985 movie, she actually has the baby, the sister, and they do a time jump, and she's like, you know, 7-8 years old, and she's actually the one that kills Big Fat Skarsgård guy.
Oh, really?
In the original movie.
Oh, but that's. I'm glad they did this differently because she's talking to a little baby in the womb who's already developed enough to be able to have these telepathic powers and stuff, or you know, however that works.
But
that's pretty cool.
During that scene, what I really liked this like playing, and you see this like he sees this future where millions, billions of people die, and he's like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to go south. I don't want to embrace this prophet, you know, whatever. But he realizes he has to. Like, there's this, like, almost like, you know, Doctor Strange. Like, there's only one way to do this, and we have to all die in order to have this actually work
Every
out.
Every time it has to be the same.
You know, and so he recognizes that. But what I really like is he's just like, I'm not going to go along with this. And he even says, like, when she survives, because there's like this whole like religious, you know, the like religious sect or religious group of this culture that's like, you need to drink, which is essentially sandworm bile, which is poison to anybody else.
It'll kill them, anybody else, right?
And he basically says, no.
And they,
she's been
and they know that they could possibly die from this, yeah.
And he's like, no, it's not like, I get what you guys are saying, but she's trained this, like, she's ingested poison, and this is a historical thing. Like, there was a leader who actually did this in Europe,
right?
Back in like the
1500s. Oh, yeah, right. Yeah.
So, like,
in real
body
life,
gets, you know, accustomed to
immune
it,
immune to it. Yeah.
And it's like, no, she's been training for this, she can do this on her own. And apparently, which
it's
is
like,
really,
it's like beer for us Wisconsinites, yeah,
exactly. Right. She has a tolerance for
poison,
for sandworm puke,
right.
And so, the whole shtick
to the
it,
brand,
though,
actually, on the can.
Is like they have these. Only priestesses, right? Any guy, any male, for whatever reason, will die.
Right.
It's a known fact, right? As a man, you drink this, you're going to die.
Right.
As a woman, you have a chance to survive, and you'll become
Once
this, like...
Once again, women are better. Yeah.
You'll have this, like, out-of-body, out-of-world experience. And during that, and eventually when he takes it, which I thought the sandworms were the...
He dies and the movie ends. Cause
and that's
die.
It.
Yeah.
When he takes it, he sees the future, he sees the past, and it's like this like infusion of knowledge.
Right.
And part of
a
it
a little bit overwhelming
is the Luke, I am your no, Luke, I am your father moment.
Right. Yep. Exactly.
She's actually
we both thought that at the same time as we were watching it. Yeah.
She's actually the granddaughter or daughter of the big bad guy. Right.
Right.
And so that makes her not even an Atreides. It's like this whole other thing.
They're actually related to the people they're fighting against.
And so like this whole like complicated, but it makes it good.
Right. Well, it's just another fold to the story that I didn't see it coming.
No.
Like, holy crap. You hated these people, the Freemans especially, hate these people. It turns out we come from their genes.
Right.
And that's our family. Yeah.
And so like you have this whole weird... What I find interesting, though, is in this movie, when you see, I got to look up the name of the guy, but the big guy who's the bald guy who's a part of this, and he's like the guy that they're going to send to take care of things on Arrakis because Dave Bautista is not getting it done, right?
Right.
The whole point, though, was these witches went and had somebody in their coven go and seduce him because they're like, he's the bloodline. Right. Like, they were going, they're like, we have a bunch of different
plans
prospects.
In place, yeah.
He was part of that plan.
Right.
She was supposed to have, and this is part of that screen crush that I watched, in the book, they explain it. His mom, Paul Atreides' mom, was supposed to have a daughter so that she could breed with the bald kid.
Oh, sure.
And continue this line.
Right. Like he royalty in real life.
Effed it up, or she effed it up and had a boy.
Yeah.
And so then they send this woman to essentially seduce him, and they're like, and it's like a transaction. Like, yep, I bought the bread. She's just like casually, yep, I'm pregnant with his daughter.
Yep.
And it's like, excuse me?
But
like,
he's fallen in love with Johnny in the meantime.
No. I'm saying the bald guy. Yeah, right. Yeah. And like she goes to, like, after that whole arena scene, this other witch, a part of the Bene Gesserit, goes, and it's like, wait a second, why are they doing this? How are they doing this? And it's because they need an insurance, right?
Right.
They're gonna send him out to Dune. He might die. That line, that cultivated eugenics that they've been planning for so long, right, might die with him.
Right.
So they need to basically grab his DNA before
right.
he leaves.
For the line to continue, they need someone.
And it's just like, like right. it's just so like, wow, like yeah. that's so complex.
Right.
In a really interesting way.
And they're playing God, but they've had this plan in place and they need every little detail to be right or the plan goes to nothing.
They've been cultivating this line and this DNA
for generations, abilities, like you said, and, yeah.
So that part of it, I think, I mean, and again, there's a lot that we can't get into, but essentially they have the big fight with the Emperor. It's a big blowout. They actually use nuclear warheads that they just had.
Right.
Because apparently every house gets a certain number.
Sure.
And every king gets one. And so their family have been stockpiling nuclear warheads.
Yeah.
Because each one of them is like, I guess, a part of like a, hey, you're king, here's a nuclear warhead. And apparently they've just been, each king gets one. I don't know. That's crazy. I keep saying the same thing over again.
They weren't as hard to find as they were, you know, during our war times.
Yeah. They just gave them away.
Things, yeah.
It was like a, you know, fruit basket.
Right. Like a retirement gift.
But that part of it, then they use that and they team up with the southern group of the Freemen and the group, original group, and it's like this whole thing, and it's a you know, I don't know, it's just so much.
It's leading up to a battle scene. It is so fully much, but it's not overwhelming. I mean, yeah,
it's not overwhelming. But this
the
is what I
storyline's coming to a peak, though. That's what it's all doing.
And this is what was crazy about that, because the end of the movie, he takes up that mantle, he challenges, and I really got to do better at my research, but he challenges Bald Head Guy
right.
to a fight in place of the Emperor. Because he challenged the Emperor, and he said, I need a champion. Or Florence right. Pugh's like, hey. And so he basically stabs her in the back.
And that's how they establish things, yeah.
He stabs, he literally stabs Bald Guy in the front, but he stabs Zendaya in the back. And says, I'll marry her and we'll continue this.
Because Zendaya, Johnny, has become his love, the love of his life, as I mentioned in the synopsis. But in order to, you know, do his destiny or, you know, to lead the people, he's saying, fine, I'll accept her hand in marriage. And
yeah.
And Johnny's just, like, obviously sad. And, you know, and it makes
and
you
she's
think,
like, I'm not going to fight with you.
Right. And,
like,
that,
and that's
and
how the movie ends. And you're like,
right. So, and I'm like, that sucks. I wanted the love story to be a happy ending. And then, you know, and we're both thinking, and Tom Monty's like, well, there's a chance when the next movie comes out that they have some kind of way to deal with this.
But to that point, though, I was convinced that part two did not finish off the first book. And it did. And that blew my mind.
Right.
Part one and part two covers the entirety of the first book. Part three is going to be the second book. Dune Messiah. So not only did this author realize, like, I'm going to create this world, I'm going to create this world, finish the first book, and fully anticipate making another book.
Right. Knowing ahead of
like,
time, yeah.
I didn't see that, like, I just assumed
It was a standalone thing.
Well, especially because like 1985 version didn't do all that.
Like I'm looking at my watch and I'm like, this movie's almost done.
Yeah, there's a
like,
lot
there's
more.
There's not. Right. It feels like there's something like.
But you're saying the 1985 version was I haven't seen, but from what you've read, they do cover that too, right?
All I don't know. Movie? I don't think so. I think that they only covered the first book, and okay. that's where I'm like, I gotta watch.
How
the
movie. Did they not continue? That's why
like
I
how
keep
did they
coming
yeah,
back to that
even
yeah.
more to your point?
Right.
How did they not create a sequel?
I mean, people must have been up in arms, but they just didn't have.
But they took some different. They took some creative differences.
Maybe
right?
made their own ending or something.
They did a time jump.
Right.
So, Paul Atreides' sister. Does actually
right.
was actually to, born.
She's already born.
She's yeah. the one who kills Skarsgård. She there's like a whole subplot with that and things that happen with that. So the movie ends like that, but it was the action at the end of the movie was a payoff.
Yeah.
And not for the sake of being a payoff. Like
no.
There's not just
it was a build
random
up.
Thing.
It was a build up, but not just because well we gotta have a big fight scene here.
It made sense.
Right.
It
didn't finish the story either.
Thematically made sense.
And it didn't just, okay, well, that's the end now.
Right.
One side won the battle, and now we can go on. No, there's still a lot more that has to go on.
And Mickey and I even made the comment, like, how are they not just dominating whoever lands on that planet if they ride sandworms, these creatures who, I'm not kidding you, if you haven't watched the movie, they're as large as skyscrapers.
Right, they're huge.
And so
and they're different
scale,
sizes, but the big ones are, yeah. As
the
big
scale
as...
is what threw me because I'm expecting the size of like maybe great dragon
or from a whale like, or something.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Exactly. Like that's, I'm like, ah, okay. They're big. No, they're like order of magnitude larger than what I expected.
Like, most of the tribe can ride on one of them.
Right. They use it as public transportation.
Right. It's like a bus.
Like, they get on it
and
there's
ride. A lot of people in these, the Freemen, yeah. So, there's a lot of them.
Like, I'm sitting here thinking when they're talking about, oh, do we go to south? Do we not go south? We got to make that journey. I'm thinking that they're just going to be like, okay, we're going to start walking.
It's going to take forever.
No, they're riding sandworms through the sandstorms, through, right. like, and so, it just the scale of everything is also part of it. That just like, wow, like it's so
to control a creature that big. Yeah,
I don't know.
Right. Yeah.
So again, they didn't lean as heavily into the aliens like they do in Star Wars, or jumping from world to world to planet to have all these different creatures and aliens. They didn't lean into that. For the most part, they were humans, right? But when they did, when they talked about the sandworms,
yeah.
when they talked
which
about...
Which is really the only
the desert mice.
That, well, yeah, you know. Little desert mice. But the main alien is the sandworms, and it's just right. a vehicle, basically.
Basically, different humanoid humans who are from different planets.
Right.
I feel like a broken record, because obviously we're not going to cover movies that we don't like. This was a good movie.
Oh, we have, once or twice.
Worth going to see in the theater. At a minimum, watch it in a 4K TV, right?
Right.
Great cinematography, great special effects,
yeah,
all those
and the
things.
Sound and all. It's nice to be in that, you know, environment when you're watching a big screen for, especially to get the scale you're talking about of these sandworms. Right. It's even cooler on a big screen, obviously.
And it was a great movie. Don't let the internet
right.
put a false sense of what it is. Because we were told, and this is the only negative, which isn't the fault of the movie or the director.
Nothing can live up to a hype that's hyped that
They were
much.
Talking like 100% Rotten Tomatoes score. They were talking, you know, best movie ever. Like best sci-fi movie.
Overtaking the best sci-fi movie
like,
ever as far as scores.
This is great. Like, I'm jumping ship from Star Wars. Like, this is what it must have felt like to watch Empire Strikes Back. And to a certain extent, part of that is true,
right?
To a certain extent.
But nothing can live up to that kind of hype.
I think it was a very good movie.
Right.
Worth seeing.
Well, and those scores are true. It's still that popular. It's living up to mm-hmm. those scores. And as far as, you know, offering everything and having no flaws, yeah, it's true. But as humans, we build something up to the point where it's impossible right. to live up to. It was still great. Right. And only once or twice can I think of a movie that actually did live up to that hype. And
go into it with grounded expectations. Right, and that's all I got to say.
And if I had more knowledge of this and was a bigger fan earlier on, it probably would have, like Marvel. Yeah. Like Endgame lived up to that hype, in my opinion, because I've been part of that buildup. You know, right.
If you had read the book, if you watched the original movie.
But because I didn't, it was like, oh, really? I mean, it's really good. But yeah, if I had been letting this settle in my brain for a long time, it would have lived up to the hype completely. So,
but I think, and I had talked to a coworker about this, I think this is the type of movie that's like, it's a nerd movie, whatever you want to call it, fantasy movie, but it sidesteps comic books,
right?
Action or superheroes.
It's its own world of nerd.
And I feel like this is what we needed as a movie going culture at this time.
To take a break from Marvel and Star Wars.
To take a break from that so that it's like, no, cinema isn't dead.
No.
Movies aren't dead.
Storylines.
It's
huge actors. I mean, they're all buying into this. You got some huge names in this, like we said.
And it just, everything came together in a good way, and it wasn't rushed. They took their time. Like I said, I've been saying kind of the same things throughout this whole podcast.
And that's why those scores are so high, because there are no big flaws. They did a good job. They didn't rush through it to get it out so they can make money quicker.
And again, I think when you peel back the layers of why MCU is not doing well or why there hasn't been as quality, you start looking at why the DC universe didn't have as quality movies as they could have.
Ever.
They should have.
Right.
You look at Dune and you think, okay.
It can be done.
It can be done. We can have this, right?
Right.
We can have a good movie that doesn't need to be a cash grab, right? These people that created, were a part of the movie, the actors, the producers, the directors, the person who wrote the score, the person who did the special effects.
Right.
You can tell they are not only fans.
They're talented.
But they take their craft seriously.
Right. They're talented and they have respect for what they're doing. And they want to do a good job, not just, we got to get this out so we can start making money off it.
And if you want to see the exact opposite
of that, it's actually art in this case.
Go watch Madam Web and you'll understand what we're talking about.
Right.
And we haven't even seen the movie.
Right, but I've heard over and over. I mean, so, even the actors don't really want to talk about it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. So, anyway, any other notes or anything else about I'm excited for part three.
Yeah.
But
we don't know when that's coming out either, right?
We don't.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, right. They're not saying, oh, it's going to be 2025, that. And then 2 years later, oh, it wasn't 2025. Yeah, no shit, it's 2027.
Like, they've said,
we did that math on our own.
It's going to happen, but 2021, right?
This is the anticipation we used to have with Star Wars and all those. Yeah, just, oh, it's been four. The second one came out after 4 years. I wonder if that's when the next one will come out.
That's
the anticipation, the buildup, that's what we want, unless it's a piece of crap that comes out, but in these cases, we're pretty sure it's not going to be. And so, yeah, let the anticipation ride.
As you know, being in the industry that we work in,
yeah,
the quality that you receive by someone taking their time to create something is worth the wait.
Me and the engineer I work with literally had that conversation today. They, you know, he keeps going a political move where we're going to be finished by this date, and he's like, but we're not completely finished. We're pretty far along. We're 90%. But he's like, I hate putting out that product that isn't completely done. It isn't the best we can do because there's going to be all these RFIs and all and change orders and all that crap, and it's going to cost more money. And why not do the best we can? And there's still going to be mistakes and changes, but why not do the best we can and then put it out?
Mm-hmm.
But nope. We set a date, and okay, well, it's going to be a piece of crap.
And Marvel, I think,
we literally had that conversation today.
They're doing that. And
now,
that's why
now they are, yep. Shoving
that's
it down your throat.
Why it's not as quality. And these movies, first of all, they didn't have the budget that some of these Marvel, even TV shows have, which to me tells you right there, like, it's not about the money.
Right.
It's not about your budget for this movie. And
which is even worse.
That's a whole nother conversation about the cost.
You've
and
got
the
a budget like that, and you still put out a piece of crap. That's ridiculous.
But they took their time. They thought about it. They thought about how they were going to do it.
without the same budgets we're talking about.
And it wasn't rushed. And so, call me crazy, but it takes a couple years to make a good movie.
Anything worth doing right is worth doing right the first time. I mean, right? That expression's been around for...
I mean, Avatar, the first Avatar, James Cameron took 10 years on that movie, right? Now, that's a little extreme. Sure. I don't know. I think there might have been some other things going on. But so I'm going to say a couple dates. You'll probably know them. 1977, 1981, 1985. Okay? Three, four, five years, right? They're all great movies.
The Olympics take 4 years between. I mean, that's how long it takes these people to train to get to that level.
So if you play your cards right, I don't know, maybe a Star Wars movie comes out in year X. 2 years from that, a Dune movie comes out. 2 years from that, a Star Wars movie.
Right. Like, but even if you don't have that schedule, we need the money right now. Well, no, if you want to make the most amount of money, do a good job. Whenever it comes out, all that money will be there.
Selfishly, as not someone who has a stockholder or a stakeholder, I don't even care if you make the money.
Do a good job. Right. But of course they do.
Yeah. They
if you want, that money will be there if you do a good job. You might get it quicker if you spit out a piece of crap, but it's not, you might not make your budget back
either. And so the other part of that, and the other reason why I am for taking the years that it takes.
Even bands put out albums after so many years. The anticipation of human beings is a big part of it.
That anticipation, coupled with the fact that you're not competing against yourself.
Right, exactly.
Some people, and I'm not saying this as somebody who's in this boat, because I've been very blessed, right? I have a good job. Even though I complain about, you know, daycare and everything else.
Wow.
Some people, when they go to a movie, it's a big deal. Right. They're taking their whole family, whatever. It's a big deal. Well, they're not going every other month. It's very expensive.
Right.
They're not going every other month, right? If this becomes something that's an event every three, four years, somebody who's a fan will find the money to bring
their
family.
They're going to go. Otherwise, we'll spend our money on other things. They will make this a way to.
That's where I'm getting at with you're competing against yourself. Right. If every quarter you're turning out a new MCU movie, some people are just, I'll wait till it comes out on streaming.
But when the sums are there, when the totals are there, did you make as much as you would have with a good quality thing that will continue to make money through the decades?
Right.
Whereas if it's a piece of crap, sure, you made a lot right now. But you're not making that money in the future.
And that goes back to a whole conversation that we could have at some point, is the budgets of these movies. I don't even think they were making the money.
They're not making money. They're trying to break even.
Right. So you're putting it out quicker.
Right.
It's costing more money. It's not as high quality. You're not making as much movie.
And you're not making money in the future either, because once that, we gave it a chance, and now the word spread, it's a piece of crap, don't watch it. So the future generations are like, I'm not going to bother with that.
Right.
You know,
like, why even? Yeah,
it's not a hard equation to understand. Yet they seem to have forgotten.
Especially with streaming and everything else. Like, it used to be, you'd make the money back on the VHS sales.
But there's so much out there now. Yeah, exactly.
We are
wise beyond our years.
As a native of a state that is heavily invested and culturally involved in cheese. I will use the analogy of the whey separates from the curds and it floats to the surface, right?
And we're not even talking Little Miss Muffet. Yeah, I mean, exactly.
The quality.
We've worked on places that make these in Wisconsin.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. I'm not just a weirdo.
No, that really is part of the process.
Cheese curds.
Right.
It's that quality will come to the surface.
Right.
And people recognize that.
And rushing it will prevent that.
We're not as stupid as you think. Right. I guess is my...
As stupid as we sound.
My billboard to Hollywood. We're not as stupid as you think we are.
Yeah. The public. Not Mikey and Mickey. You mean the public.
The public, right? People recognize quality.
Right. They will continue to recognize quality. Like...
This is... Yeah.
Like... If I like a movie, I'll see it four or five times in the theater.
Right. Yeah, there's that.
And then I'll buy the DVD or rent it on when it comes to the, so if it's a piece of crap, I might see it in the theater, find out I'm never watching that again. So, yeah.
And this is a perfect example of people saying universally, and it's funny how Mad and Wed came out so close to this movie.
Right.
Universally, Mad and Wed was a bad movie.
Right.
Like you universally, said, this is a good movie.
Yeah.
I have not heard a single bad review.
That many people can be dumb, uneducated, right, quick to judge what they don't understand.
And people have that opinions, many, right?
Right, and that's what I'm saying. Whether they're based on facts or not, people like to shoot their mouths off. This many people aren't going to be wrong.
And I said that to Mickey when we were talking about this was, you know, a lot of movies, The Flash is a perfect example. Some people really liked movie, it. Yeah. Somebody didn't. Some people didn't like it. There was no... Some people didn't like
it. No, exactly. This was unanimous.
So it pays off. You put in hard work.
So you're saying you're sorry you went and saw it.
Waste of money. I even went on a matinee because I was like, is this gonna be good?
Right, exactly.
On St. Patrick's Day.
Right.
But
we had beer afterwards. It wasn't green, but yeah.
Worth the time.
Definitely.
Again. I feel like a broken record because I've said that about pretty much everything.
And we did get a good deal. We only spent $11, which nowadays is a steal. So
yeah, and a movie. Yeah.
Definitely worth seeing. Both of them. But you do want to watch the first one.
Yes.
Because it is a good gradual build-up, and it's worth seeing. And
this is what I will say. The only – it's not even a negative because you'd say this about, like, any trilogy.
Right.
You need to watch the first one.
Like Sheldon from Big Bang Theory. I feel like I'm, you know, starting in the middle. Have to watch it from the beginning. And a lot of us are like that. I'm kind of like that.
You understand what's going on, obviously,
right?
A lot more. That's all I got.
Oh.
Again, we could go in. I mean, there's a whole side of things with the relationship between the houses, and we could go into very, very deep dive into this movie and this franchise, and we won't for sake of time.
Well, maybe with more movies coming out, we'll delve into that as we go.
Yeah, I think I see us, first of all.
Assuming that we've been doing this already, we'll continue to do it.
I'm banking on us, and maybe someday we'll have a 100th episode, which I would like to do in person.
We're closer to that than we are to one.
Well, I would love to do, like, get to a point where we could, like, go to a local comic show or comic book shop, be like, hey, we'd like to do a live show in your store.
Oh yeah.
Set up some chairs, do like a stage, right, do a whole thing. I think that there's a very good potential. I'm not a Bene Jesuit and I can't predict the future. Huh. I think that we'll be covering Dune Part 3 eventually.
Yeah. I think and even the first one was well received. This one's doing even better, so they'd be crazy not to.
Right.
With the money grabbing world we live in.
Right.
You know, you got a big piece of gold in your hand, you're going to use it, you know?
Right. And it's a piece of gold that's, like, it's useful. It's not just a gold. It's right. Not just gold.
It's a golden goose.
That's right.
The egg. Yeah.
So, yeah. So, anyways, that's all I got.
I think it was all right.
I think we pretty much covered it.
I think.
Did it justice, at least, for an hour and 40 minutes worth of, you know, what we could do in two movies that are 3 hours each.
True.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
so
I guess what I'm saying is getting old is mandatory.
But growing up is optional. Thanks, guys.
What kind of creepy person do you have at the end of your show now?